present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
And welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week on a visit to the city of Preston in the county of Lancashire. Probably Preston's most famous historical figure is Richard Arkwright. Born here in 1732, Arkwright made Preston the centre of the cotton manufacturing industry. He amassed a fortune from his water frame, a cotton yarn machine, and Spinning Jenny, a pole dancer from Blackburn. On the 5th of December 1958, Britain's first ever stretch of motorway was opened, the M6 Preston Bypass, a revolutionary six-lane highway. However, within weeks, huge tailbacks developed as motorists drove there from all over the country to sample the delight of avoiding Preston. Remembering a glorious industrial past, Preston is proud of its Museum of Textiles, where visitors can see demonstrations of 19th century methods of cotton cloth production and the use of dyes. But that's not the only place you can see people dyeing in public with 200-year-old material. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrooke Taylor and Victoria Wood. And preparing to enjoy the action on the desk next to me, please welcome our scorer, the delightful Samantha. OK, teams, let's get on with it. We don't want to be here all night. Don't want to be here any night. We start with a round of missed hits. I'd like you, please, to suggest films, books and TV or radio shows that flopped because they lacked a decent title. Could you start us, Barry?
Alice in Sunderland.
Tim?
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Commerce.
Victoria?
We need to walk about, Kevin.
Graham?
A Quantum of Sausage.
One Foot in the Gravy.
Breakfast at Stephanie's.
With Nail and Hammer. 50 Shades of Beige.
Just an Hour with Nicholas Parsons.
Combland.
The Devil Wears Primark.
Glove Story.
An American Warehouse in London. Bring me the rest of Alfredo Garcia.
Well, the teams are going to sing for us now in the musical challenge round called One Song to the Tune of Another. This is where each team member sings the wrong words to musical backing. The team's piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Listeners might be amused to hear that at last week's recording, the piano lid was down and the key was missing. And then we discovered someone in the audience was an emergency locksmith. Had to pay him 75 quid to keep quiet. OK, well, we'll start with you, Barry. I'd like you to sing the words of Highway to Hell by AC/DC... to the tune of George Formby's Leaning on a Lamppost.
I'm on the highway to hell, on the highway to hell, highway to hell, I'm on the highway to hell. No stop signs, speed limits, nobody's gonna slow me down. Like a wheel, gonna spin it, nobody's gonna mess me around. Hey, Satan, pay my dues, playing in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me, on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell, I'm going down.
You now, Tim, I'd like you to sing the words of I'm Too Sexy to the tune of "There'll Always Be an England."
I'm too sexy for my love, too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me. I'm too sexy for my shirt, too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts, and I'm too sexy for Milan, too sexy for Milan, New York and Japan. And I'm too sexy for your party too, sexy for your party, in a way I'm disco dancing. I'm a model, you know what I mean, and I do my little turn on the catwalk, yeah, on the catwalk. On the catwalk, yeah, I do my little turn on the catwalk. I'm too sexy for my car, too sexy for my car, too sexy by far.
Graham, now I'd like you to sing the words of Widdicombe Fair to the tune of Save Your Love by Rene and Renato.
Tom Pierce, lend me your grey mare. All along down, along out, along Lee. For I want to go to Widdicombe Fair with Bill Brewer, John Stewart, Peter Gurney, Peter David, Dan Whitten, Harry Hawkhold, Uncle Tom Copley and all. And when shall I see again my grey mare? All along down, along out, along Lee. By Friday noon or Saturday soon will Bill Brewer, John Stewart, Peter Gurney, Peter David, Dan Whitten, Harry Hawkhold, Uncle Tom Copley and all.
Extraordinary, thank you. Finally, Victoria, I'd like you to sing the words of Roxanne to the tune of the theme from Neighbours.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Those days are over. Have to sell your body to the night. Roxanne, you don't have to wear that dress tonight. Walk the streets for money. You don't care if it's wrong or if it's right. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, put on the red light. Roxanne, put on the red light. Roxanne, put on the red light. Roxanne.
Thank you. Well, the next game is called Word for Word, and it's where players take turns to exchange a series of words which must have no possible connection. So, if words like news and night were followed by piss up and brewery, then that would be perfectly allowable. Okay, Barry and Graham, can you start exchanging your random words, please, while Tim and Victoria, you should challenge to take over if you spot a connection.
Ready?
Yeah.
That was my word. Oh. Steady. Straw.
Alibi.
Putty.
Porcelain.
Squeak.
And
porcelain
Victoria.
Squeaks.
Oh, yes.
Never.
No.
It's squeaky clean.
If it's clean. Good and you rub your thumb on it, it squeaks.
Squeaky clean.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Very good.
Well, Victoria said, and she's always right, so... Yeah, so, Victoria and Tim, over to you.
Confit.
Follicle.
Wok.
Duck.
Connection Barry. Between wok and duck is hardly worth explaining. I've often woked a duck, he said. He said carefully. I've ducked a wok in my time as well.
I've seen you walk like a duck.
It wasn't a duck, it was to duck.
As in a verb.
Get out of that, crier.
A verb.
A verb.
Yeah, it was a verb.
Yeah, well, I've
You link a verb with a wok.
Has anyone ever thrown a wok at you?
That's what I was hinting at.
So what do you do?
No, I think you're splitting hairs, Barry and Graham.
Yes,
I'm going to allow duck and wok. I'm completely unconnected.
Thank you.
Please carry on.
Oh, gee.
Forceps.
Architrave.
Pantomime.
Bat.
Graham.
I know for a fact Tim once played the back half of a pantomime bat.
I didn't think anybody knew that.
Nobody could hear you.
Pardon?
If that is true, Tim, you have been found out.
Yep.
I think Graham and Barry.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That was my word. Oh.
Gracias.
Whip.
We're meant to use English words.
Where does it say that?
In the Bible.
Gracias is perfectly acceptable. So, yes, carry on, please.
Go ahead. Oh, I say.
Graham, yeah.
Me?
Yes. Well, the next game is called Word for Word. And it's where players... this is the next game. We've just done that.
Jack?
Yeah.
That's my word.
Oh, shut up. Ah, it's like waking from a bad dream. Anyway. The next round is an entirely new experience that no audience has ever seen before. So imagine you're at the second half of an evening with Nicholas Parsons. Okay, the idea is that one team will play a favourite game of theirs while the opposing team should attempt to guess the name of the game. Okay, Tim and Victoria. The title of your game will now be advertised to the audience via the laser display board. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Top trumps. Top trumps.
Off we go.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, beautiful view. You can see everything from the top of here.
Okay, I'm going to K2. Oh, it's very very beautiful from here too.
So yes, Barry and Graham, what game are they playing?
The game is it? High wind? No, it's with Donald Trump. No, it can't be.
Oh! High
Trump. Trumps. Top Trumps.
Yeah!
The next round is called 84 Chicken Cross Road, a title that has a fascinating derivation, I expect. The game is all about the art of letter writing, a process which has changed beyond measure in this electronic age of computers and iPhones. Back in the 60s, when Barry Cryer started work in an office, the first thing he did was to get a typist. Nice girls, those ties, but they can't take a drink. Well, in this round, each team take it in turns to improvise the letters sent between two famous people. Tim and Victoria, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Lancashire-born suffragette Emmeline Pankhurst to the Archbishop of Canterbury. And then Barry and Graham will come up with a reply and so on. The challenge is that the letters must be constructed by each panellist, alternating one word at a time. So off you go, please, Tim and Victoria.
Your
Grace,
I
am
writing
to
moan
about
the
decision
not
to
have...
Women.
Bishops.
It's...
ludicrous...
that...
you...
do...
nothing...
about...
it.
I...
am...
very...
tall.
In
my
high
clogs,
I
wish
you
would
die.
Then
I
would
be
a
bishop.
Yours
very
sincerely,
Emmeline
Pankhurst.
Dear, 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 dear. I
was
very
upset
to
receive
your
letter.
Sweet
though
it
was.
Bless.
Bless.
And
furthermore,
your
style
intrigues
me.
Especially
your
high-flown clogs,
which
I
see
as
a
step
forward
for
women
of
a
certain
age.
Nevertheless,
I
condemn
this
attitude
because
you
are
a
formidable
yet...
raucous,
although
beguiling
young
woman
who
could
very
easily
be
an
addition
to
my
family.
So
there
we
have
it.
In
conclusion,
I
would
like
to
assure
you
that
my
attitude
is
quite
benevolent.
Although...
kinky.
And...
somehow...
misunderstood.
So,
therefore,
I
will
offer
you
the
comfort
and...
solace
of
my
home
in
Canterbury,
where
you
will
find
the
clogs
and
costumes
for
you
to
wear
when
you
do
your
ironing.
Bless
you,
my
child.
Yours
hypocritically,
Cantua.
Well, thank you. There's no need to be so rude at the end there, Graham. Now it's time for a popular favourite, Gardener's Question Tim. The only downside to this gardening question and answer session is that Tim knows virtually nothing about gardening. We were saying earlier he's no idea what time of year you should prune your chlamydia. So the other team members have agreed to help Tim to answer tricky questions from any one of the nation's top gardeners. So, our first question, please. You, sir, who are you and what's your question?
Hello, Tim. Alan Titchmarsh here. I'm told that my Hoover might hold the answer to juicier tomatoes. Is this true?
Yes, Alan, if you've hoovered up a pamphlet telling you how to grow juicier tomatoes.
Oh, it's very good advice.
Yeah, thank you.
The best source for the trace elements that tomato plants crave is fluff from your vacuum cleaner.
Oh.
Right, just grow them on a carpet. Okay, another question, please.
Hello, Alan here. My grandfather used to stuff egg boxes into his garden hedge and swore it was the secret to healthy flowers. Why did he do this?
Well, Alan, for much the same reason he used to put toast in the CD player and forget to wear his trousers.
Okay, can we have a question from someone else?
Hello, I'm Monty Don. My wife and I recently bought two dogs, and I'm dismayed that the bitch is urinating on the lawn. It's causing unsightly brown patches. Is there anything I can do about this?
You could ask her to stop.
The answer here is nothing kills grass faster than dog urine, and particularly the urine of a bitch dog. Happily, the chemical in the urine that kills the grass can be neutralised by tomato juice. Just add 1.5 tablespoons to the dog's food in the morning and eat. Who can be bothered? I mean, really. Another question, please.
Hi, Bob Flowerdew speaking. I'm told if windy, I should get rid of weeds using an old roll-on deodorant. How?
Unscrew top and push up bottom.
The answer you're looking for is if it's too windy to spot weed, using a watering can. Instead, put the weed killer liquid into an old roll-on deodorant bottle and roll weed killer onto the specific weeds. But just don't forget you've done it, because it's pretty sore in the morning you put that on your hands. OK, another question, anyone else?
Hello, Pippa Greenwood here. An old Lancashire gardener I knew always had a pair of stockings hanging out of the water butt in his garden. Why might this have been?
I know him, and ever since his wife found them under the car seat, he's had to pretend they're for some old gardener's watering trick.
Except the real answer is that he'll have filled each stocking leg with pigeon droppings and then left them to steep in the water butt for a couple of weeks. The result is an excellent liquid plant feed for the whole garden.
Oh, I think I met him at my Get a Life Club.
How does he get the pigeons to do that?
Yes.
Another question, please.
Bigorra. Dermot Gavin here. My morning glory has only grown to a fraction of the size I was expecting. Is there a simple solution?
There is, but it's only available on the internet.
The answer is it may require plant growth hormone, which you can find in your own medicine cabinet. One soluble aspirin in a pint of water every couple of weeks should have your problem solved. And it will prevent your morning glory having a heart attack as well. Next question, please.
Hi, I'm Charlie Dimmock. I'm told that with just 2 strands of copper wire, I can stop snails crawling up my flower pots. How?
Wrap them round your flower pots and connect them to the mains.
You're not far off, actually, Tim. Just tightly tie the 2 wires around the pot, about 1/2 inch apart. When a snail crawls up the pot and its body is in contact with both wires, a chemical reaction occurs between the snail's slime and the copper wire, which generates a small electric current, and the snail gets an electric shock and falls off the pot.
Oh.
Kind of weirdo thought that one up, really. Jolly good. Next question, please.
This is Adam the Gardener from off of the Sunday Express. Our new kitten likes to use my seed tray as a cat litter. Is there an inexpensive way of preventing it setting foot there again?
Well, you take 2 strands of copper wire.
The answer I've got here is pepper the surface of the seed tray with cocktail sticks, 3/4 with three quarters of the stick protruding from the ground. That doesn't sound very nice, does it? It's better just to cut the kitten's paws off. Final question, please.
Greetings. This is Capability Brown. Any suggestions as to what I might do with some old hose?
Yeah, become a pimp.
You want to snip old garden hose into 3-foot sections, paint to resemble venomous snakes, and arrange in your fruit trees to deter birds.
Anybody seen my will to live?
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a round of the Cat Lover's Songbook. Barry was telling us about his old tomcat. He spends most evenings lying in front of the fire with his little nose stuck up between his legs, licking away for hours. He's been doing it so much, the cat started copying him. So, teams, your suggestions, please, of songs to suit cat lovers and their pets. Graham, can you start, please?
If you're tabby and you know it, lap your milk.
Barry?
Goodness gracious, great balls of fur.
Tim?
Ground control to Jinder Tom.
Victoria?
Pardon me, boys, is that the catitude, the new girl?
Careless whisker.
Save your hisses for me.
Please release me.
Who let the mogs out?
Spaying alive.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Radio 1 DJ of Destiny approaches the microphone of fate and speaks only to confirm his name, age and address... I notice it's the end of the show, so from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Preston, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor, and Victoria Wood were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.